Oh, well, that was a little awkward. Live radio. Too many buttons, man. But it is time for Brewocracy now. Our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. And it's time for you to gather your thoughts. Think about what questions you have about the city that we call home, or at least many of us do call home. And join the Zoom meeting. You can do that. It's right at the top of the KPTZ website, kptz.org, where you can join in Zoom. You can email me, tim@kptz.org, or you can even give me a call, 360-215-7270. So I'll repeat all that later, but right now I would like to welcome Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Hi, John.
Good morning, Tim. How are you? Or I guess good afternoon. It's 8 minutes past.
Yeah, actually, I can say I've had better technical days. But be that as it may, you're here, I'm here, and everything sounds good, and we're ready to roll. We're ready
great.
To take
I
some
could claim,
questions.
I could claim credit for that musical interlude if you'd like.
Okay. I'll go with credit or blame. I think I'll call it blame. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, John, for being here. I have my
Absolutely.
Coffee. And we would like to welcome anybody that would like to join us on this Zoom call, because this is your opportunity. This is like writing a letter to the editor in some ways, except you get an instant response to that question. I don't know if that's a very good analogy.
I don't know what I'm editing, actually, Tim. Maybe just to carry that analogy forward.
yeah, that's true. I do have a question submitted by email, unless you have anyone there that you would like to acknowledge first.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm just going to read this to you verbatim, John. So here we go.
Okay.
Okay, right to the point of the future of the golf course. We have lived on the border of the course for the last 20 years, so we know it pretty well and value it highly, even though we don't golf much. Pressed for time, I will state first and foremost that the biggest concern I have at the moment is that the city could sell off the 56 acres to the highest bidder and building frenzy commences. This process to determine the highest and best use of the acreage needs more time than just the 2 to 3 months allotted by the city. I heard Mr. Morrow estimate that as early as 2005, all of us could have estimated that the lease on the course would expire this year, 2020. If so, why are we now scurrying to make a big decision in 2 to 3 months? There's the question.
Well, you know, I guess maybe my first reflection is that we're teeing up a decision in unusual times. And I would say, given the very diverse set of voices around what the golf course best use should be, it seems a little like there's an opportunity cost of not facilitating that conversation now. So we knew this was going to happen for, a decade and a half, that this would be that point. We really struggled to get any sort of engagement off the ground in the early days of COVID because we had, I had furloughed 52 staff. But I believe we can actually have a conversation about it. One direction. So listeners will know we're taking a kind of a dual approach here, saying, okay, the RFP, the request for proposals, went out, this past week and is being circulated by the National Golf Foundation. And, we have an intent to get good proposals back to be able to evaluate. At the same time, the number of voices and the diversity of voices on how should we use that piece of city-owned property are loud and respectful, of course, but it's something we can't ignore. So, I don't think that the stroke of midnight on January 1st, 2021 will magically have a completely different scenario at the golf course. I mean, that's there's the decision-making process isn't the full high and best use isn't determined by January 1st, but the conversation begins now. So I guess I'll just say that, there are opportunities here for engagement that we would be missing if we didn't, you know, have this conversation now. It doesn't mean we'll suddenly come to a conclusion at the end of the year. I mean, one circumstance is that we don't get viable proposals back. And so then we go to city council and say, look, we didn't get viable proposals or any proposals. I would be surprised if we didn't. But, you know, there's this other conversation about best use and people want to do X, Y, or Z. And so, you know, this doesn't mean we have to act on it immediately. We don't want to rush a decision, but I think it's prudent for us to have a conversation. And I can't see a way to do that. I mean, outside of just delaying the conversation we inevitably need to have. And I'm confident we can do that even in the times of COVID.
Understandable. And, I feel that most people do understand the challenges posed by COVID-19 to the city. But yeah. In fairness to the listener, I think that it appears to me his question is more focused upon why wasn't this started a couple years ago? Now, I know that you only...
I can't answer that question.
Okay. and so that may be, I think that is the particulars of his question. And
Maybe the best way to maybe that wasn't a great response. And so, I really do appreciate the question. I really like how people's care for this place comes out with concerns for what is this going to look like in the future? And that's really what we're trying to steward is a conversation about, well, what should this look like? You know, and if people want it to look exactly the same, well, great. You know, how do we make that happen? The reference to sort of a sell-off of public assets is very far from my mind. I mean, that, you know, this is a large piece of public owned property. And, there's no predetermined decision here. You know, the city I know has, you know, from my perspective, nothing in mind except to understand what the community has in their mind. And then we'll go through a process of decision making about it. I want to put people's ease, you know, put people's concerns at ease to say, you know, we're not going to make sort of rash, sudden decisions about this. But at the same time, you know, preparing for the future means we actually unpack some of these difficult conversations. And you're right. We probably could have had this conversation earlier, but here we are now. And we're actually juggling a multitude of conversations about the future. And I think we don't really have time to keep pressing pause on any of these, whether it's, you know, what we do with public safety, what we do with the mill contract around water, what we do with the golf course. These are things we need to make decisions on now. And yes, the pace might feel hurried and the stakes might feel high, but that's why we need people to be involved. And that question itself is a way for us to understand what people's concerns are. So I encourage all of those listening to go to our city website, which is cityofpt.us, /engage. And you can actually go see those 10 initiatives that will require a decision by city council in the next year or so and find ways of getting involved.
And I would like to speak for have you speak for a while about Engage PT. But as the questions roll in, it's obvious that that the golf course is on people's minds. Here's another question. This one from Thomas Kelly, if you don't mind me saying your name. I know the city has asked the citizens what they would like to do with the golf course. What ideas does the city council have?
That's a tough one for me to answer because I'm not a city council member. But look, I can reflect on conversations, that have really revolved around process. And I really do respect and admire our 7 largely just barely compensated volunteers. That's really how the city council works in this town, is that they're given a very small stipend for their service. And occasionally, they take quite a brunt of heat here on the tough decisions they have to make. And I know that each of them, I can say quite confidently, is committed to a process where we understand the community's interests and needs before we make a hasty decision. More than that, it's hard to speculate. I don't know what individuals are thinking. I don't know if it's fair for me to even go there. But I know that there's a real adherence to how do we get this process right in the times when we can't gather together, in a time of weirdness for everybody. you know, but we owe the community a voice. And I think that's why Engage PTs come. It's not the end all be all, but it's a way to say, look, we're trying to find multiple channels, including this one. You know, those who really care about the golf course, I encourage you to jump on the Zoom call, you know, have an open conversation with me right now, and we can talk about it.
Well, and you mentioned earlier, you know, that there's a certain segment of folks that would like everything to stay exactly the same. And walking around Port Townsend, it's not much of a stretch to think that that is a prevailing sentiment. Things don't change quickly here in Port Townsend. But what you are saying is, as I understand it, there's a certain amount of engagement that happens between the city council, your elected representative, and there's maybe a different type of engagement that happens between the public and the city manager. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way to make your feelings known to your elected representative, let's talk about that. Engage PT. Yeah. Where does that go? What impact does it have? Who reads it? Who is pondering those suggestions?
I mean, hand over heart, you know, I really care about the democratic process. And I really believe that this community is up for a conversation that's diverse, that we have conflicting ideas, we can argue them cogently and respectfully. I mean, this could be a really great example, this community, to how to do local democracy right. Now, I know that there's challenges to that. One is that we all have egos and we can misbehave. The other challenge is that there's a wide amount of misinformation out there. And the golf course is a good example. I mean, last week I was talking about issues people were raising that were actually factually incorrect, you know, and so people kind of chase their tail a little bit on issues that might be hearsay. And so I guess, you know, the point of something like Engage PT is to make sure there's a common set of truth and facts and parameters that we can actually discuss and debate. Now, I'm not suggesting that needs to be, you know, that everyone's voice needs to be the same tenor and saying the same things. That's not the point. The point is to sort of set a platform for respectful debate and conversation as a community. Like I've said many times, there's 9,600 opinions at the very least in this community. And, you know, how to work together to figure out where to go, there needs to be some dialogue and disagreement. But if we're doing that on the wrong, if we're having a conversation about us as the city canceling the golf contract, I mean, that's patently untrue. It's just hard to recover from a lot of energy being put into a belief that's based on something that's not true. So what we're trying to do before the decision making at the council is to upskill all of us, myself included, on what the real issues are, how they work together, and get that dialogue going in advance of decision making. Because anybody listening can come to city council at any business meeting and offer 3 minutes of public comment. You're welcome to write me, city council. You're welcome to weigh in as they're making decisions. But often that's a bit late in the process. And I think that good engagement and good democratic principles require us to get a head start on that. You know, and to some extent, this is making the point for that previous commenter about the golf course. We need a runway where we're having a conversation actively before decisions are made. That way, we're all a little bit smarter, a little bit, you know, we could maybe listen a little bit and maybe inform our own perspectives and make some changes to our own beliefs and our perspectives, and start connecting as a community about the issues that are kind of rising to the top. You know, what are the main points here that really need to be part of the decision-making process? And then, of course, you could weigh in officially. But Engage PT is about starting the conversation, you know, and every piece of feedback is going to be seen by me. I mean, I will commit to reading everything. I know that all my department directors are also fiercely committed to this process. And it's really already informing how we go about this. So, you know, we're asking questions and we're actually changing our approaches based on some of the feedback, even on process. So I think it's an overall improvement. And then once we get to the decision-making point of view, my hope is that there'll be less consternation because, you know, we'll have a much higher, more sophisticated conversation about the facts.
Well, before we leave the subject of the golf course, you talked a little bit about some misinformation that is put out there, and you know, in the era of social media, that happens. I see what we are doing here today as a counterbalance to that, in that we're speaking in real time We are we're answering questions live as they come in, no matter how difficult. So can you give me an example of a misconception or a rumor that you would like to balance that you've heard perhaps on the golf course or perhaps on another subject?
I mean, I think I just kind of quickly slipped that one in. I think the one that we were having a hard time with is, you know, it's sort of heartbreaking for me that people who care and whose opinions matter were sort of lobbying concerns about us canceling a contract. And, you know, that's, you know, 6 months early, I think, was one of the posts on Facebook. And it's really hard to go in and say, actually, you know, that's not true. I mean, we posted hey, this is just to clarify. I shared that post and we said, just to clarify, this is actually what's happening. But, you know, then you kind of do the back and forth on, well, that's not, you know, I'm not going to remove my post and that kind of thing. So I guess what I'm trying to say to people is I appreciate that there's, you know, side conversations and private Facebook groups and, you know, people who talk about the issues. And that's what we should do. We need to connect as people about what our future is and what we care about. But, you know, if there are questions, you know, whether it be what's happening with a golf course or what's happening with a public arts policy and process, you know, you can always go back to base to the information we provide or to a city council agenda bill or, I mean, it's not always written for, you know, general consumption, but, you know, we go through a lot of meetings at city council and those elected officials who volunteer their time and their energy. I mean, they sit through a ton of meetings. And, you know, just for instance, in the next week or so, you know, we had a city council business meeting on Monday, a transportation committee meeting yesterday. We have an ad hoc committee on public safety on Monday, a finance and budget committee meeting on Tuesday, a Parks and Recreation Tree Advisory Board, granted that's an advisory board, on Tuesday, Climate Action Committee on Wednesday, an Intergovernmental Coordination Collaboration Committee group on Thursday, Planning Commission on Thursday, and then we go back to you know, other commission meetings and then a business meeting. I think it's September 8th, just for those who might want to know, not the 7th because of a holiday. You know, that's just looking ahead about a week or two. And my goodness, those are all great opportunities to say, well, what's really going on here? So I guess I'd just implore people to do their research. If they have questions and that need clarity, feel free to reach out to me and my team, because we want to make sure that people's passions and perspectives are captured and that we get the most useful information back from people's opinions and not have to battle factual inaccuracies, because that's kind of a waste of all of our time.
I agree. And all those meetings that just hearing you run through them made my head hurt just slightly.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry, everybody.
I'll be all right. But, you know, there are other things. I'm very interested in nuts and bolts of city government. I'm interested in the roads, the transportation, that the garbage gets picked up. However, the more controversial or visceral subjects seem to have public interest. And one of those is the Black Lives Matter public art display and the adjoining controversy regarding that. I don't really have a question here. I have an observation.
Great.
The observation is that as I listened to that city council meeting, rolling around in the back of my head was, well, there will be a certain segment of folks that want a commensurate public art space vehicle. I would be surprised if that wasn't in your mind also. I could be wrong, but what can you tell us about that?
I appreciate that. I mean, and I don't have any clear answers here, but I think one of the things that my own personal observation is that was a you know, sort of the zeitgeist, sort of spirit of the times. You know, it came to a city council meeting, there was discussion, there was opinion, we set up an ad hoc committee. You know, council members and the mayor worked really quick to make decisions and to understand, you know, a wide variety of voices here. And ultimately the decision was to create a temporary arts, you know, event and mural on Water Street. And, you know, of course, you know, it was both widely supported and there were some folks who had some problems with that. And I could take that respectfully, that, you know, people have different opinions about the state of our nation and the concerns we should have. I mean, that's completely fine. But what became clear to me was there wasn't a clear process. And it sounds like a classic bureaucratic response here. You know, here I am, you know, giving you the bureaucratic real, you know, bureaucracy now. But I think to make it easier for people to understand how to go about using public space and what's appropriate to express. I mean, we don't want to be the arbiter on opinion, but we need to set some boundaries on what's acceptable, you know, and not, for instance, hate speech or disparaging, and also how you go about doing that. And that was not in full existence when the Black Lives Matter mural proposal came to City Council. Now, as sort of a result of, wow, that was, I don't want to say it was a bumpy process, but it was uncertain. As a result of that, we've thought, what is our public arts policy? You know, we don't have one. We don't have an approach, you know, that people can say, I'd like to be considered for. And we don't pull together groups like the Historic Preservation Committee that has some jurisdiction over what happens in the historic downtown. And we didn't formally, you know, we called on the Arts Commission and they ultimately made the allocation decision for the materials for the BLM mural. But I think all these pieces need to come together and be communicated to the public of like, here's, if you want a rainbow crosswalk, or if you want Blue Lives Matter or whatever it is that you want down the middle of the street or, you know, anywhere else, here's how you go about it. And so the conversation this week was to clarify what that process was and what the policy was. And again, unfortunately, I mean, I respect that there are people who have opinions. Sometimes, you know, in the case of this week, I would say that they bordered on not being respectfully communicated. And I just offer folks, you know, if you want to be heard, you know, speaking in ways that people can not immediately react, you know, name calling and kind of derogatory remarks make it a lot easier to hear the message. But it was sort of, unfortunately, the public comment seemed to focus on a decision that was already made. And, you know, we're not going back and relitigating that decision. That paint is already on the ground. And, you know, frankly, at the time we committed to, you know, at some point it's temporary, you know, at some point it's been driven over enough by cars that we need to mop it up and have it live out its useful life. So that's something we will do. But I find it unfortunate that instead of talking about what's the right process, what's the right policy, what's acceptable, the conversation in the public comment really focused on something that was the decision in the past. And again, that was a bit of a mismatch because that didn't help to inform the decision that council ultimately made, which was to agree the first reading of that draft policy. So I don't know, Tim, that's kind of my current thoughts. I mean, I love the idea of, you know, the sort of an open canvas for expression, but I think there needs to be some boundaries on that. And look, I think there's another thing worth saying here, and I'm going to get myself possibly in hot water. So pay attention, everyone. But I think it's very possible to hold a respect, admiration, and real gratitude for our people in a police uniform. In your heart and mind, at the same time that you realize that there is a structural systemic racism problem in our country. And they aren't competing in my mind. They're not like, oh, one, you're either for or against. And I think I've said this here before. You can carry those two things in your mind at the same time. And I know Interim Chief Serber does because, you know, we talk about this, including today, very often. And I know that the police team thinks about this very often. And this is not a one side or the other conversation. This is a how do we do public safety well in the context of a society that is struggling with a systemic racism problem. And you know what? It's more than just the police that need to be thinking about this issue. You know, it's every city department, every organization, every aspect of our society. And that doesn't mean that we're anti any of those things, you know. So I guess I just want people to not fall in the trap here of saying it's either I'm a for or against thing. We have too much polarization in our community and in our country. And what we need is how do these things fit well together?
Well, for the record, I don't see that as a bureaucratic response at all. I see on both of those subjects, well-reasoned, some hindsight, mm-hmm. some a lot of honesty. You know, we can all look back at things we did yesterday and wish that we had done them differently. But I appreciate your candor on some of these issues that are difficult, that are very much difficult. Yeah. And we tackle those. And I do want to encourage folks, as you know, you call in and write, I want to keep this a very civil place. And I think that it's good for us as a society. It's healthy, where we use full sentences and use our words as well as we can. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for those answers.
You bet.
So we have about 5 minutes left. Nothing else rises to the top with me. Oh, one thing does. Yeah. And I'm doing this out of, I don't know, I guess it's a public service. I would like to speak about the census. And it's coming up. And if you could just kind of speak from your perspective, you deal with dollars and cents. I do have a call. Let's see if I can.
Okay, we'll pause that one.
Yeah,
great.
We'll pause that one. Hello, you're on the air, KPTZ.
Yeah, I can hear myself echoing. I'm going to go away from the radio.
This okay. Is Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for doing all this. This may not be a question. It might be the wrong category. It has to do with information about COVID. That I've been hearing that it's okay to be around a group of five people, but then on the radio, I don't remember who it was that said it, they said, no, it's not five people. It's one person at a time, five times a week. Like you can be around five different people during a week. And I can't remember who said that.
I won't be able to remember for you.
On this.
Yep.
We'll get the answer.
Go ahead.
Is that your question, Laura?
Yeah, I've got lots of other questions, and I've got some other interesting perspectives. I have a perspective on why people vote for the guy that's in there now. You want it?
We try and keep it PT focused. I think that may be a much larger conversation.
This is more like psychology. Yeah. I'll tell you sometime because you might be interested.
And I most likely will. You. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so I could quickly respond to that too, Tim, if you don't, if you'd like. I mean, thanks, Laura. You know, the best and easiest way to do this is to go to either KPTZ on Mondays at 9:45 and listen to Dr. Tom Locke, because he is the definitive local authority on this, or go to the governor's website, the state of Washington, and you'll see that each phase has a set of guidelines. For phase two, which we are in, it's stated that we may have social gatherings of up to five people, and I'm going to have to check myself, but I believe that's once per week. But let's be clear here. This isn't, you know, full contact, unmasked, close connected, you know, gatherings. All personal protection, you know, measures with masking and distancing and hand washing are part of the gig, you know. So we're not letting our guard down when we talk to groups of small groups, or when you go and see your neighbor. This is actually, all the rules apply. So hopefully that's a little bit of clarity there, but I would encourage you to go to the either the governor's site or to Jefferson County Public Health, because that's the definitive truth.
Well, thank you for that question, Laura. And so we have just a few minutes to touch on the census.
Yeah.
What does that mean to a city? Why is it important for us to participate? And are there any challenges?
Yeah, sure. No, great question, Tim. I'll try to condense it. I'm sure I'll miss something here, but I mean, this is kind of along the lines of like, what isn't counted doesn't count, you know? And so the census is a way to understand, okay, two big things that I think we should be concerned about are political representation, you know, at the national level is determined by the census. So, you know, if we don't all put our hand up and get counted, then we won't have as much political representation. So that changes over time as demographics change around the country. So that's sort of, you know, limiting our ability to have a voice in Congress for us. The second thing, which is probably, you know, more, I wouldn't say more important, but it's, you know, it's money related. You know, we have a stream of allocation from the federal government to states and municipalities. And that's often determined by the census. And so if we look like we're a smaller place than we really are, we're getting far less per capita. And that's translating to real services we get from the federal government. And I don't have it off the top of my head, but I've seen it quantified, you know, and sort of a small, you know, percentage of undercounting actually translates into millions of dollars in missed opportunities of funding from the federal government. And those are things that, you know, help us build infrastructure, help us with human and social services. I mean, real things that impact our community. So to me, the census this is an apolitical thing. This is, let's make sure that we're counting the number of people so we could allocate funding and representation appropriately. And if we get an undercount, we suffer.
We don't want an undercount. And so I'm just going to put this out there. Answer that census, because if you don't, maybe we can name a pothole after you. You think we could? It's easier than a BLM mural. We'll just put your name next to a pothole, because I think realistically that's actually what happens when you are not counted and we don't get the money for the city.
I'm sure there are a lot of potholes already named after me, lovingly.
Yeah, well, we'll run with that ball next week, John Morrow. City Manager John Morrow, always a pleasure. And we do this every week. Start thinking about your questions as you walk around town and you look around and you think about how important this city government, county government also is to our quality of life here. Jot down or make a mental note of a question for John Morrow, and we will get to it next week. Thank you so much.
Stay safe, everybody, and thanks, Tim. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. See you, John.
Bye.